Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Welcome to Revitalize and Replant. It's a podcast that originates from Spurgeon. The Spurgeon Library.
Not all the time. We've had about a dozen or so episodes live from the Spurgeon Library.
And who knew?
At Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri. And who knew?
That he had a podcast. I'm Dan Hurst. That's Mark Clifton over there on the other side of the table. And Mark... introduce our special guest.
This is Mark Halleck at the end of the table.
Hey, guys.
Mark is from Englewood, Colorado, a suburb of Denver, pastor of the Calvary Church, Calvary Network, Southern Baptist Church Replant that has replanted many, many churches. At the other end of the table is Kyle, our producer. We do not let him talk because he's on his phone playing video games all the time anyway. And then there's a seat here you can pull up and sit next to us as we continue our discussion. This is several episodes of this podcast on the Blackaby book, Henry and Richard Blackaby book, Flickering Lamps. So go to Blackaby Ministries International, get the book Flickering Lamps, and there's this video series that goes with it where they're teaching each chapter. And this is a book that you use when you're trying to get your church to begin the revitalization process. So that they understand the church does not belong to them, it belongs to Jesus. They know that in their head, but they have to know it in their heart. And this book helps them do that. So if you've missed the previous episodes, we have talked about Jesus' purpose for his church, his plans for his church, and today, maybe one of the best ever, Mark and Dan, we are going to talk about Christ's presence in his church.
You know, before we get into this, I'm excited about this for this reason. God doesn't show up anywhere he doesn't want to be.
Isn't that true? Oh, yeah.
And so when we talk about Christ's presence in your church, guess what? He wants to be there.
Yeah. You know?
And so we you talk about this all the time, the way that people pray, you know, and they ask God to be present and be near. And that tells me that there's a little separation between understanding what Christ really wants and where you are.
Well, he promised where we were gathered, he would be there, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So, Pastor, and I know you've done it because I have done it. I mean, I've pastored for a long time, and I have said this more times than I care to think of. Lord, I pray this morning as we gather for worship, you'll be with us today. Be with those who are working in the nursery. Yeah. Be with those who play in there. Be with those who take the offering, you know. I don't know, whatever. Or the usher will pray, Lord, be with our pastor today. And as Henry Blackaby says, if the Lord's not with your pastor, get a new pastor, right? I mean, there's a problem there. Look, when you say publicly, Lord, be with us today, you're implying he's not until you ask him to come. Mm. I mean, is he out there in the parking lot deciding whether he's going to go to your church or to the church down the street? Yeah. You know, you're implying he's not there.
Yeah.
And also, sometimes, well-meaning, we say, man, didn't God show up last week? As though he may not show up this week. As though we don't really ever really know. You know, I was in, I think it was North Carolina some time ago. This is pre-COVID, by the way. Some time ago, and I was at a pastor's conference, and it was a Q&A time. And one dear pastor stood up, and in his North Carolina accent, he was pretty upset that his members were just not faithful attenders anymore. And I understand what he means. I mean, when Dan and I were kids, our dads were pastors. Man, people came to church every Sunday. I mean, if you were a deacon, you planned your Sunday, your summer schedule vacation, so you only missed one Sunday instead of two.
Yeah.
But today, people want to go to travel ball games with their kids on weekends, they go. They want to go camping for three weekends in a row, they go, you know.
Yeah.
And so I get it. There is that sense that, you know, Dr. Rainer even says, you know, people now consider themselves regular attenders if they go at least two times a month,
mm-hmm.
not even three.
Wow.
And so it has gone down. So this pastor was reflecting that. He said, you know, I'm really frustrated of the lack of commitment of our members to be there every Sunday morning. And he basically wanted to know how he could knock them over the head with it, you know, and how can we tell them they need to be there and all. And the reality is this. What about the way we do church on Sunday morning makes them think if I miss it, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
I'm not missing anything.
If they
really understood the presence of the risen Christ was there, not at the ball game, not in the campground, maybe they would rather be there than at the ball game or the campground, because I don't want to miss the risen Christ. I think it's important how we communicate things to our churches. And I think when we say things like, boy, I hope, you know, pray the Lord be with us today, or Lord, please, what we mean is, Lord, open our eyes so we can see you. He's always here.
That's right, yeah.
We just don't see him. And so Christ's presence in his church means he's always with us. He's never not there.
Yeah.
But again, the way we word it, the way we talk about it, look, for example, we pray that people come to know Christ, right, Dan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, Mark?
That's right, absolutely.
I'm asking these questions so I'm not accused of dominating my own podcast, all right? That ship has sailed.
You got it, bud. Just dominate.
Anyway,
you got
Anyhow. So we pray. So let's say we all pray. Churches pray. Lord, grow the church, reach people. You know, bring people. So let's say that on Sunday morning you're up there, and sure enough, comes time for invitation, and the eighth verse of Just As I Am. This dear lady walks down the aisle. Right, she comes down the aisle. And she says, "Hello, my name is Mary Clark, and I live down the street, and I just moved here, and I've been visiting here, and I'd like to make this my church home. I'm a follower of Christ. I've been baptized, and I'd like to move my membership here." What we're likely sometimes to do is say, "That's great," and we introduce the Lord. You know, we're so glad that Mary came today. Mary decided to make this her church home. Thank you, Mary, for making that decision. No. Here's what you do. Church, have we been praying that God would answer our prayer and grow his church? Mm. Amen. Church, have we been pleading with God that he would show his work among us? Amen. He just did. She just came down the aisle. The work of God is present before us as he's with us. Mary, you have responded to God's leadership in your life that we've been praying for. God is among his church. He is here. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's how you have to. It's not manipulative. It's revealing that
Amen.
It's
that's
God
right.
working,
that's right.
not us working.
Yes.
And we wonder, why don't people see Christ's presence in his church? It's because we take credit for everything.
Well.
And if it doesn't work, it's because, well, God didn't show up.
Yeah.
And we define what his presence is.
Absolutely.
You know, we say, well, this is proof that God showed up, when God's not limited
That's
by that
right.
at all.
That's
not,
right.
Not
That's
not
right.
not at all, not in the least.
Hmm. How do you define the presence of God in your church, Mark? I'd be curious about that.
The presence of God. Well, I mean, so much of this, at least the way I'm wired, is theologically. I mean, we're talking about, you know, if we believe that God is the omnis, right? Omnipotent,
mm-hmm.
meaning he's all-powerful, omniscient, he's mm-hmm. all-knowing. And omnipresent, he is all places at all times. So in some ways, it shows you the disconnect from our stated theology with our practical theology.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because we believe as Christians in the presence of the Lord. So I think it's more, from my standpoint, of reminding, it's what you're saying. And this is where reverence and awe.
Oh, absolutely.
In worship, in preaching, in everything. Like,
yes.
Listen, if our worship services have no weight to them.
Right.
Why should we expect people to be in awe of God? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, our job as worship leaders is to usher people in to the presence of God. Not that he's not outside the walls of this church, but he is present among his people, and we should stand in awe of him.
You know, you've heard me say this before on previous podcasts, and you know it's a huge issue with me. But there are so many times I'll be in a church, and the worship team will be doing their thing, and then the worship leader will pray, and as he prays, the worship team comes down and the pastor comes up
mm-hmm.
while
yeah.
he's praying, yeah. right? And so you open your eyes, it's like, they're gone. Where did they go? You know, well, they had to be moving. They couldn't stay there while the worship leader prayed because, well, they had to sit down, and the pastor, he has to get up there because, oh, I guess prayer is just a transition? Is that all that mm-hmm. is? The man who's praying is speaking to the eternal God, the creator of the universe, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who named every star and holds it in place by his mighty power. There isn't a molecule in a gas giant that God isn't controlling at this moment, and he's speaking to him.
Yeah.
But your keyboard player and your drummer and your other backup singers, they can't stand there and listen to the prayer. Yeah. They have to go sit down during
right.
that. And your pastor, he can't sit there and listen to the prayer. He has to get up on the stage because what he's ready to say is really important. And then we wonder, why don't people know that God's present in our church?
Yes.
Why don't you treat prayer differently in public than you do? And many of us would be very careful about who we let preach in public. Hopefully we would.
Yeah.
But we'll let anybody pray in public, whether they know how to pray theologically correct or not, whether their prayer glorifies God or not. And I think we got to be very Richard Blackaby says, we always want our people to be people who pray and read the Bible. What about the way you or I pray and read the Bible on Sunday morning makes anybody say, I can't wait to go home and do that?
Mm.
That's the most important thing I've heard all week.
Mm.
In fact, sometimes in churches, we don't even read the Bible except before we preach. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why we don't read Scripture every Sunday morning publicly. Lots of it.
Yeah.
And if you think, well, you know, maybe it's, I don't know, boring, well, then you got a bigger problem than I can help you with right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? When it's more important to make announcements.
Right.
You know, to have commercials in the service
right.
than it is to read the Word of God. Absolutely. We've just slapped God in the face.
Absolutely. So I think what we're talking about, God's presence, I agree with Mark spot on. It begins in corporate worship.
Yeah.
Now, here's, and this isn't new with us. There's a lot of churches that do this. So, but we do it at Little Linwood, you know, 40, 50 people out in the country. I'm so proud of our church for doing it. You have to do a certain amount of housekeeping every time you get the group together. That's just understood.
Yeah.
So we do that. We start our church at a certain time, and one of our pastors, we get up there and say, welcome to Linwood, glad you're here. You're a new member, new attender, here's the information about us. And then we just basically say, here's two or three things coming up this week. But people aren't going to remember two or three more anyway. And so here's a couple of three things that you might need to know this week and that kind of thing. And then he sits down, and for about a minute, it's silent.
Mm.
And then the first thing that happens, one of our leaders, elders, will get up. And the first thing that the congregation hears in worship is the Word of God read publicly.
Mm.
And he's not up there. And the music doesn't, the music guy doesn't get up there and say, you know, hey, welcome, everybody stand, smile, how you doing? You don't want the congregation to respond to a person.
Right.
You want the congregation to respond to God's Word.
That's right. That's
and if God's Word isn't front and center in your worship, it's not going to happen.
That's right.
And so... And that doesn't happen in 1 week, right? Mm. I mean, I admit, the first time we sat there in the one-minute silence, I think people about crawled out of their skin. Like, what's wrong? Something's broken. Now, it is very natural.
Yeah.
This is time for us to take a spiritual breath and wait, and then the first thing we hear is God's Word. We're being invited to come before God. That's how you know.
That
you
that.
Begin to create that in your worship. We're going to do a whole other thing on worship later. Secondly, God's presence in His church. It would not only reveal in worship and the way we make much of Him. By the way, in the book of Acts, it says that the people lived in the fear of the Lord, and the Lord added to the church daily. Mm. Check it out. I mean, there's a holiness of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing is, Mark, answer this.
Yep.
When visitors come, how do they experience the joy of Christ among your people? How does is that visible?
Wow. Yeah, that boy, that's a great question. I sure pray it is. I think the joy of the Lord is one of the strangest things a non-believer could ever witness, and I don't know if there's anything they are drawn to more at the same time than the joy of the Lord. And I think that's true with believers, cranky believers that are missing out on what is this joy. And so I would say from the very beginning, and if you were to come to our church, I pray you'd experience this. It starts with folks who are greeting you in the parking lot, the joy of the Lord. We're not just doing this because you're supposed to have a greeting team. We want you to experience the joy of Jesus, and that's an overflow of who we are. The joy of the Lord in singing songs of praise to Him. The joy of the Lord in our preaching, that it's the overflow. I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than listening to a preacher and you wonder, one, do they believe it, what they're saying? Two, are they excited about this? Like, does this mean it? And there's nothing more powerful than that dude believes this, and that has changed this guy's life, and he wants to share it with me. I would say the joy of the Lord's Supper. You know, for us at our church, we take the Lord's Supper every week, and I know that's kind of weird as Baptists, but we do. But the way we approach the supper is a celebration of the gospel of grace. And so I think, listen, these are all things you can do in a dull way that there's no joyless. And I'd say that's not only a sin, it's an absolute offense to the Lord. And so again, what I want non-believers to experience is a counterculture.
Okay.
Is a different world. So again, we have a lot of non-believers who come. We're in Denver. But here's the thing. We're not trying to dumb down anything we do. We want to be hospitable in the sense of, if I'm using big theological words, I want to define those words and what we're saying. We want to help them understand what we're doing in the service. But I think the worst thing you could ever do is dumb down your worship as though that will appeal to non-believers. What you must be is potent in your joy, in your passion for Christ and the Word, so that lost people will say, what is going on there?
Can I just say, too, that lost, unchurched people are probably not going to be impressed with any music we put up there, no matter how good it is, because they can go somewhere on Saturday night and hear something a little better.
Dude, we always say we have Red Rocks right in our backyard.
Yeah,
and
Red
we're like,
Rocks.
Listen,
right.
If you want cool music, right. You go to Red right. Rocks. Right. Don't give me this right. cheesy,
but,
you know, whatever.
But I believe with all of my heart, and I believe it's biblically sound, that lost people can truly be convicted and drawn to Christ yeah. as they watch believers worship
yeah,
God.
Absolutely.
Not that, hey, that's cool music. I like that guitar riff.
Yes.
But rather, these people around me apparently really believe what they're singing.
That's right. That's
and
right.
the Holy Spirit can convict people. That's why it's so important to get people in your church
yes.
to sing.
Yes.
You sing to glorify God. Listen to me. You sing to bless one another.
Yeah.
I sing because the person in front of me might have just been given a cancer diagnosis.
Yes.
And they need to hear a brother or a
Amen.
Sister sing about their Christ. I sing because maybe the person next to me has a reprobate child and they're broken over. Yep. And they need, we sing for one another. Your people will find joy in your church visitors when they see how people respond to Christ
yes.
and respond to one another.
Yes.
You know, people, we're a friendly church. That just means they said hello to them and shook their
yeah,
hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We want to see joy. Oh, this is so powerful. My wife says, you got to quit saying that because, you know.
Hey, it's all so powerful.
She said, just
man. Come
say
on.
It.
Well,
it's
when
not,
you talk to her that way,
well, I
mean,
know.
That's one thing.
She says, it's not necessary to say that. So I guess, but. You know, the Apostle Paul said to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you.
Yes, that's right.
I think the biggest problem in our churches today is that nobody's asking our church members that question.
Wow.
Nobody sees the hope that's in them.
Mm.
Even though our church members may not know how to answer it,
yeah.
the bigger problem is, when was the last time somebody asked one of our church members, I got to ask you a question. Where are you getting all this hope from?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the world's going to pot. The economy's terrible. Your own children are sick. You perhaps yep. have a terrible diagnosis. Yep. Where's this hope coming from? Now, you may have some members that are asked that question, but our goal ought to be that ought to be every member
yes,
of our church
yes.
should be the kind of person that people readily say, where is this hope
yeah.
coming from? And here's a really cool thing. As the world gets darker, as the world gets worse,
yeah.
It becomes easier for those who have hope to really shine.
That's right. You
right?
get brighter, man.
Yep.
So
that's
Christ's
right.
presence in his church,
that's right.
Christ's presence in its membership can be so powerful in times of darkness.
Yes, yes.
But if he's not there, then the church is engulfed in that same darkness,
yep.
that same sadness. Your worship circle will reflect it, and you'll end up trying, we've all been there, we've seen it, trying to create Christ's presence. In some other man-made way.
Oh, this, and I'm referring back to the verse that you're talking about there in Peter, where he says, he starts that off by saying, but sanctify the Lord first in your heart. So it's all a matter of their own personal reverence and awe of God. There's no joy without reverence.
Right.
There yeah, that's right, that's right. And the good news is, in the context of this podcast, if you have the joy of the Lord, if you've got the Lord, you've got everything you need.
Isn't that true?
That's the bottom line.
And does it not start, dear ones, with the pastor?
Yes.
If you
yes.
have a pastor who does not walk in the joy of the Lord,
that's
you're
right.
not going to have a congregation
no,
who walks in
no,
the joy of the Lord.
No,
you really aren't. And you know, our friend Frank Lewis, who helps us with some conferences and things from time to time, years was the pastor at First Baptist Nashville. Frank reminds us that statistically, it's a proven fact that when you get up to preach Sunday morning, half the people in your congregation, 100% of the people in congregations, excuse me, every person in your congregation, their lives will be impacted directly by either cancer or addiction before they die. Mm-hmm. Either someone they know or someone they love or themselves. So every Sunday morning when you preach,
wow.
every person you're preaching to, their life is going to be affected by cancer. That's just two bad things, right?
Yeah, right.
So you need to be a pastor full of hope and full of joy. And the presence of the risen Christ needs to
yes,
be there.
Yes.
And even in a dying church where you don't have any musicians, you don't have any preschoolers, you don't have any children, the building needs painted, the roof leaks, the sound system doesn't work, it seats 400 and there are 35 who show up, and a visitor comes in, you don't apologize for anything.
No, no, never.
You don't say, never. I'm sorry, we don't have as many as we normally do, or
well,
our church is just trying to get replanted, or... No, you don't apologize for anything. You focus on what you do have. You have the risen Christ
yes.
among
yes.
you.
Yes.
And if that presence will outdo everything.
Everything.
I want to kind of roll this down real quick. A long time ago, Jill and I were serving in Montreal, Quebec. And I found out, they said, hey, we have a Greek church, a Baptist Greek church that meets in a little Anglican building on Sunday afternoons. Now, Montreal has a huge Greek population, but it's Orthodox Greek, right? These were a group of evangelical, born-again Baptist Greeks, mostly older ladies. And so Jill and I drove down this little, tiny, beautiful little Anglican church building in the center of Montreal, 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. We walk in, maybe 8 or 9 mostly elderly Greek widows, a couple of older men, and that's it. And no one to play the piano, no one to play the organ, but one of them gets up there, and they start to lead singing a cappella. And they weren't really on tune, and it wasn't really beautiful, but they sang almost with tears in their eyes. Because, listen, they had been ostracized many ways from the Greek Orthodox community. Everything about that Greek community revolved around the Greek Orthodox Church, the festivals, the holiday. But they were evangelical Baptists, and it cost them a lot to do that. Yeah. So when they gathered in that little church, that worship meant a lot to them. And Jill will tell you, we stood there and wept when we heard these people sing. It didn't matter that they didn't have an organ. It didn't matter they didn't have a sound system. It didn't matter they didn't have a pastor. They loved their Lord, and that joy showed. The presence of Christ in your church will change everything. Yeah. I'm just telling you that.
Amen.
So we're going to continue next episode looking at this book, Flickering Lamps. And Dan, take us home.
Well, we have so much to talk about, and I wish we had a whole lot more time. But, you know, Mark just won't let me go longer. It's his fault. So we're going to wrap this up, and we'll be back in our next episode. Please subscribe and let your friends and you know some fellow pastors. Let them know about this podcast.
Absolutely.
And it'll be a blessing to them. There'll be something that's said, I promise you, in just about every episode that God can use to stimulate your faith and to encourage you. And we'll plan on seeing you next time in the next episode as we continue this very series here on Flickering Lamps, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor, or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.